You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked on Angels.
What up, Angel fans? My name is Lucas Sardo, your host of Locked On Angels today, the resident social cynic. Welcome to your daily Angels update here on Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And can you feel the energy in my voice? Because boys, girls, children of all ages, we beat San Diego. Well, yeah, let's give it up for them. Give it up for the Angels here. But before I get into the San Diego Padres Game 1 recap, I need to get this off my chest, okay? And I couldn't wait until Thursday to make it my gear grinder. I had to do it right now because it is grinding my gears that bad. And this is what I have to say. You should not be excited about seeing Shohei Ohtani pitching videos. If you are excited, stop it right now. There is no reason for that man to be on a mound. What are we doing? There is absolutely no reason his rehab should be, quote, progressing quicker than expected, or any of the other stuff that you're hearing. Okay? Not good. Every time I see a video of Shohei Ohtani on a mound, the only thing I think of in my head is not good. The gif that I see in my head is the Michael Scott from The Office where he's just screaming, no. That's what I see. Because our idea as an organization, I think, should be, hey, let's make Shohei the 2019 opening day starter. I don't know. That seems reasonable at least, right? But if we speed up this process and he pitches this year, you gotta think we're playing with fire, right? Because what's the worst thing that can happen here? What's the best thing that can happen here? The worst? I hate to say it, but there goes the UCL, right? We've seen it happen a lot of times, especially within this organization. What's the best thing that could happen? I don't know, he pitches well and wins a rookie of the year. Woo. Like, as exciting as that would be, is it worth it? Is it worth not seeing this guy on a mound until 2021? No. If you think it is, seriously, I want to talk to you. This guy is so valuable to this organization. And I just can't think that rushing him back to pitching this season helps us in any way. Okay? Monday, he throws a 33-pitch bullpen session. Again, I say no. Also, if you saw the video that I retweeted on our Locked On Angels account, yes, I officially have control of the Locked On Angels Twitter account. Look out, world. But if you saw the video I retweeted, you saw some stretching at the beginning with Ipe, and that's the stretching they were doing with his arm just kind of made my stomach turn a little bit. They were twisting his arm in a very kind of unnatural looking way. Didn't really like seeing that. The bullpen session, if you watch the videos, you know, looks like he's throwing a lot of fastballs. No breaking balls yet, thank God. But the report that was that he was throwing at 70%. That was the quote. Why? Why is he throwing at 40% off a mound? Honestly, what is the upside to getting him on the mound this season. I legitimately cannot think of a valuable reason. Are we going to make a playoff run? No, probably not. Right? And I've been fairly optimistic with this team making the playoffs. I think we're getting to the point in the season that's like, yeah, we're not making the playoffs. So why rush him back? Do you guys remember thinking about this in my rage? Do you guys remember a couple years back? It was the year after Steven Strasburg had Tommy John surgery. Do you guys remember what the Nationals did on their run to the playoffs? Because Steven Strasburg was on an innings limit to make sure his elbow was healthy. They shut him down for the playoffs. They shut him down during the regular season and did not allow him to pitch during the playoffs to preserve his arm. And it's worked so far, right? We are literally doing the opposite of what the Nationals did. Think about it. We are not making a postseason run. They were. They shut down their future superstar, their future ace. We are rushing him back on the mound. What are you doing? What is the mindset? What is the thought process here? And granted, I feel like Shohei is probably pushing the issue a little bit more. I'm sure the competitor inside him wants to be on the mound, wants to get back out there, wants to throw. I get that. I think we all kind of get that. The competitive nature that this guy has. You want to get on the mound. I think he has more fun on the mound, obviously. He has more success day in and day out when he's on the mound as opposed to being at the plate. But that's just the nature of baseball in itself. So I understand. Shohei, if you're listening, I understand, bud. You want to get back on the mound. But there has got to be somebody in that front office, in the clubhouse, a coach, a player that's like, hey, show, why don't we just take it easy, bro? Why don't we just, I don't know, just like play light catch? Well, and honestly, I don't even mind. I don't mind the catch. I don't mind playing catch. I don't mind the long toss. I don't mind the throwing program as a whole. Do it, because that makes the arm stronger. That's what strengthens the UCL, right? The problem I have is the mound work, the bullpen sessions, and the, quote, throwing at 70%. Why? And I said it yesterday, I think it was. It was a recent episode that I did. I said, if he's going to throw again in a game this season, it better not be anything more than 25 to 30 pitches per game, and you better bring him out of the bullpen. Maybe once a week. Because don't forget, if you're starting the game, you're throwing a lot of warm-up pitches before you actually hit the game. So you're putting a lot of stress on that arm. Why are we pitching him? If he is going to be back on the mound, that is the only logical option that I see. Bring him out of the pen. There is no need to start him. Oh, yeah. And did you guys remember this thing? Also, he has a blister problem that flared up a couple times this season. Missed a couple starts here and there for a blister problem. So we'd hate for that to flare up again too. Because then we lose his bat. I mean, we'll see what happens going forward, but we've got to be using our brains here, right? Like, we're trusting what Billy Epler and the front office is doing with this, right? I sure hope so. But coming up next, we're going to go down on the farm. We had an exciting call-up that came on Monday. But first, if you want to sponsor the show, you've heard me talk about it before. LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. That's where you can hit me up. We'll get you and your favorite business on here, talking about them, promoting them, advertising them. Coming up next, we're going down on the farm.
Yeehaw! All right. We're are Angels, not Cowboys.
Here's your Down on the Farm Report.
All right, our Down on the Farm Report. Here we go. Hey, guys, can you hear that? Can you hear that? Listen closely. It's the future coming. Taylor Ward gets the call up. Let's go. I'm pumped. Been high on him ever since I started this podcast. And I imagine we'd probably see a major league debut either Tuesday or Wednesday, right? Oh, so excited. So excited for this kid. We'll see. Another call-up they made, Osmer Morales. He's been a starter in Salt Lake. I can't say the numbers have really been hopping off the page. He's got a 4-3 record with a 6.22 ERA. But, throw him in the bullpen. Might get a spot start here or there. See what the kid's got, right? That's what this time of the year is all about, especially when we're in the situation that we're in. But who's coming up next? Where are we going from here? Because the ball has certainly gotten going for this like September call-up, end of the season, kind of what we're going to see moving forward. I mean, if you're going to have a starter, you got to think it's going to be either Luis Peña or Griffin Canning. We've talked about him on this podcast. That's what we're thinking. If we're getting a bullpen arm, Ty Boutre. I've talked about him a couple times. He made his Salt Lake debut last week. Pitched 3 innings, 4 strikeouts. He's given up 2 hits and 1 run. That 1 run he gave up ended up getting him a loss in that game, unfortunately. But still very impressive stuff out of Ty Boutre. Surely, he's going to be an arm that comes up sooner rather than later. Again, last podcast I talked about how Williams Harris has done just phenomenal, I think, so far. And I already think we've won the trade, the Ian Kinsler trade. So, Ty Boutre, can't wait to see him going, getting up here. Here's an interesting one, though, for you guys. Luis Rengifo. Okay. I know I've talked about him a couple times on here. Okay. He's like a middle infielder guy. Shortstop, second base. He can play third. Okay. He's tearing it up in Salt Lake. 8 hits over his last 5 games. He's hitting .316 on the season. He plays shortstop for the Bees. Okay. I'd imagine he gets a September call-up. But here's the fun situation that I'd like to talk about with Rengifo. I think we like David Fletcher. Can we agree on that? Yeah. Okay, everybody say yes. We'll see what we have in Taylor Ward. I'm pretty high on him. We have Zach Cozart coming back next season. And obviously we love Andrelton Simmons. So here's what we think about. Andrelton is under control until 2021. That's when he becomes a free agent. So here's your options. The way Simmons has played the last 2 years, the trade market for him could be kind of big, you'd imagine, right? Shortstop, great defensively, hits really well. Not a lot of teams have that. The way that Rengifo is trending, I think you can also say we'd get a very sizable return. So, do we try Rengifo out in September and basically figure out who our shortstop of the future is? Say Rengifo plays well. You trade him when his stock is at an all-time high? Why not, right? Because in this situation, I'm Team Simba. By far. I think he's the best defensive shortstop in the league. The way that he's been able to hit way above average for his position, I love it. I think he's been one of the most productive Angels, you know, year in and year out since we got him. So there's no real place for Rengifo to go. His best shot would be at second base. But I think we're pretty high on David Fletcher. Is he the fifth infielder next year? No, because you have Pujols there. And you need another first baseman, right? That's kind of been what we always need, is like a corner infielder guy. So this is what I'm looking at. Here's our list of infielders that we're looking at that are coming up or through our system right now. Andrelton Simmons, Luis Rengifo, Zach Cozart, David Fletcher, Jeffrey Marte, Taylor Ward, Caleb Cowart, Matt Tace, Jose Fernandez, and Albert Pujols, because he has to be on this list because he plays a lot more first base now, right? So he's an infielder. There's not a lot of room there, though, for any of these guys, realistically. So what do we do? That's what I'm saying. One of these guys has got to, I think we got to move him for a valuable piece, right? I think that the infield isn't where we're lacking any depth by any means. The outfield, I think we've kind of established, as long as they're healthy. So why not move one of these pieces and get maybe a starting pitcher? Maybe a good relief pitcher? Maybe a closer? I don't know. I think just some things for Billy Epler to look at coming into this offseason. And Matt Tace, he's going to get a look this season. Don't get me wrong. But again, he's a first baseman. Could imagine seeing him be that, you know, backup corner infield guy that basically Jeffrey Marte and Luis Valbuena have taken up the last couple years. Matt Tace also cooled off as of late at the plate. His average is down to 270 now for the season. Again, we'll see him up with the team. I'd love to see what he's got at the big league level. I like the kid. I think he's going to do great. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this September is going to shape the future of this team in 2019 and 2020, because there's a lot of pieces here right now that are major league ready. And we have not seen this out of our farm system in a very long time. So it's just something to keep an eye on, especially with Rengifo, because I think he is that oddball out. Because I think David Fletcher has proven he can do it at the major league level. Now, what if we move David Fletcher? Could do that too. But I just don't think there's room for all these guys on this roster. There's no use stashing these guys in Salt Lake with really no upside year in and year out. Now, the good thing is Rengifo's only 21 years old. So we got a lot of years of control left for him. But I don't know. You got to sell when it's high, is what I think. That's my thought process on a lot of things in life. So we'll see. I just think it's just dropping the little nugget of information in your guys' brains to think about. We'll see what happens. But coming up next, we're going to talk about that San Diego series, that game one, wild game one, and we'll close out the show. All right, we're back. Once again, I'd like to give a round of applause. We beat San Diego in game one, took it to extra innings. I got a question for you guys. Who's the better outfielder right now, Cole Calhoun or Justin Upton? Because, wow, they're both scary good right now. I mean, they're just doing it all. And, guys, Justin Upton made a, like, good outfield play. Like, defensive play. What? What's going on? Justin was like, oh, Mike's gone? All right, I'll rob the home runs now. Don't worry, guys. Also, side note, did Eric Hosmer really think that ball was, like, that gone that he, like, looked at it like that? Like, come on, dude. You're, like, playing in a pitcher's ballpark. And we got Justin Upton in left field. He catches everything out there. Anyway, in other news, Andrew Heaney threw well. That was good. Add to his, roller coaster of a season. Which Andrew Heaney is going to come out on the mound every time he takes the mound? Who knows, honestly. And Oakland beat Seattle. So we picked up a game on Seattle, huh? Huh? We're going to do it again, guys? You guys want to start the hashtag? No, we're not going to do that. Not now. Third time's a charm. I've tried to get it going twice now. The third one is going to be like, it's going to hit home, and we're going to make the playoffs. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'll be back tomorrow. We're going to have our wild, wild Wednesday AL West breakdown. And talk about game two of this San Diego Padres series. A lot of red out there in San Diego, guys. I'm liking it. I'm Lucas Sardo. You can find me at LucasSardo13 on Twitter. I love hearing all the good and bad stuff from you guys. Keep it coming. More importantly, be sure to follow our Twitter page at LockedOnAngels for all updates regarding the show and our website, LockedOnAngels.com. If you have any other questions, comments, or concerns, shoot us an email, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Guys, game two in San Diego. Adios.